Okay, she's clicking away. Alrighty, today is our regular monthly meeting. The date is September 13th, 2018 at approximately 5:03. Item 1A, call to order and the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, item B, adoption of the agenda. I'd like to move to adopt the agenda for the meeting of September 13th.
I second that.
Susana seconds. I should have mentioned that we have Mr. Morado and Ms. Horton is also present, and Susana Arcavez and myself and Ms. Rosa Ramirez is not attending our meeting today, so I forgot to mention that. Item B, information and discussion items, the financial report, and Ms. Donna Orton.
Yes, the finance is doing pretty good. I've got quite a bit encumbered of things that we're purchasing, all the salaries, et cetera, in there. So we're still in the black. Capital is still also looking good, despite a few things that we've had to do, but nothing major. We just had a bio-lead eater, a couple minor details, so nothing major. So and then we bought all our books and stuff, additional things out of that, out of the capital. I processed all payroll and vouchers this last month, as you'll see when you get signing and as you approve later on. And so things have been pretty well as far as I can see. At this point, we're going to be working on grants in the next couple of weeks. And the next meeting, we'll have the annual financial report for 17-18 at.
Great. Now, do you write grants? Or?
I work on the budget aspect of it.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, we're sure glad that you're content.
It's always
content.
A good trait, writing grants. Huh? It's always a good trait to write grants. It's yeah. Hard.
Thank you, Donna. Mm-hmm. Okay. Item 3A, presentation, discussion, and possible action regarding the approval of the vouchers. So it's all of our same regular stuff. No surprises there. You have any discussion?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Okay, item A, pertaining to the vouchers, I move we approve.
Thank you, Mrs. I'm always hot, so you guys should know.
See, my thermostat.
You have to have a cold in here for me.
No, I'm always sweating, so I'll make you look good. So could I get a second for the vouchers?
I second that.
Second, sorry. Susana seconds, ayes? Aye.
Aye.
Two ayes. Item B. Presentation, discussion, and possible action regarding the approval of the 2018-19 substitute employee list. So we have one addition to the substitute list, and one is our custodian kitchen person. Mm-hmm. And so that's good. Mm-hmm. So do we have any discussion on those two additions? Okay, without any discussion, I'd like to move that we approve the 2018-19 substitute employee list with Sharon Christie and Dolores Munoz.
I second that.
Susana seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye.
Ms. Walker, Ms. Christie had come to the meeting the last time, but we did not have her on the list because at the time the board meeting was held, we were finishing up her paperwork. So she was kind enough to return, and Ms. Christie has been teaching math for us since the school year started. Gotten off to a great start, and so I introduced her to you the last time, but I can now introduce her to you formally.
As one of our teachers. Great, welcome.
Thank you, ma'am. I'm really happy to be here.
Aww.
It's a great group.
Oh, thank you.
I'm very happy.
Great, thank you. We appreciate your presence. That's good news, and math is a big deal, so.
Yes.
Item C, presentation, discussion, possible action regarding the approval of the 2018-19 special activities contract. So we have several here. So the testing, who do we have that's conducting
that? All three of these contracts are going to Jennifer Thomas.
Jennifer Thomas, okay. And then our student council is also
all three
and volleyball. Oh wow!
She's
okay.
Coaching volleyball, and we're just starting a student council's chapter that we're trying to get off the ground.
Cool.
And so she was kind enough to come in and say that she was very interested in being the middle school social studies teacher. It is right up her alley in terms of what they teach in the curriculum, and she's willing to do that. So I'm working closely with her as we try and get off the ground and get a student council chapter started at NACL. And so we're setting some very modest goals, but we want to work with some students, get a constitution written, and maybe do a couple activities and kind of start growing it and see if we can get a full-blown student council chapter here in the near future.
So are we paying her to do, in addition to her salary, for any of these duties?
It would be similar to how you would pay someone who's coaching.
Right, okay, all right.
And a lot of that activity is also involved doing after school work, and because she is teaching and this isn't a class, so it would be more like a club.
Oh, okay. I can, normally, like on a special activities, we would have on our agenda like the amount that we're paying them and so forth.
Okay.
And so that's just why I was inquiring. So I appreciate that.
And
thank you.
Perhaps we'll include it at the next board meeting's minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And that way we can formalize that. And in the future, we will certainly provide that information.
Okay. Thank you. Do you have any further discussion?
Mm-mm.
Okay, pertaining to item C, I'd like to move to approve the special activities contracts for Jennifer Thomas.
I second that.
Susanna seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye.
That's cool.
Aye.
Council, though. Like, to bring it back, I mean, I remember in my days we had student council.
So that's great that they're doing that. That's a good idea. Item D, presentation, discussion, possible action regarding the recommendation of the increase in substitute teacher pay. And so our number right now, the recommendation is to 97, and we're sitting on what, about 90?
90,
yes, ma'am. So Ms. Orton, can you tell us, I know you work for Palominas and Sierra Vista districts, do you know off the top of your head what they pay?
We were at $90 the last I checked on them.
Around Palominas and Sierra Vista also? Okay. And I have no idea what BSBY is. Some of you all, you're from the Douglas district. What do you remember what their number was off the top?
It depends, because it's like the first 25 days or something. Like if it goes to long term.
Into long term.
And then it goes to 125 for long term.
So they have long term is 125.
For the day. Yeah.
How much a day?
100.
And Douglas?
Oh,
really?
I believe that though. It's a
wow.
Big school district.
Yeah.
I wow, that's amazing.
It's not
because
it's BSBY.
That's good to know. Thank you.
And I bet you that's what BSBY is. I bet.
Huh?
I bet you that's what BSBY is.
Probably.
I believe BSBY. I was speaking to the assistant superintendent. I believe they're paying $95 a day.
Oh.
Right.
This increase in pay proposal would be for the individuals that are coming in. For example, if a teacher called in and was ill. Or let's say they needed to go to professional development for a day or two to a conference.
Mm-hmm.
So we need a substitute teacher. The reason for the increase is that we've had a hard time getting a list of subs,
mm-hmm.
Number one. Number two, we think that the increase will increase the interest in getting people to come in. We are also looking at the recommendations or the requirements of being a substitute. We think they're a lot more liberal now than they were a while back. The other thing that is very critical is that we are involved quite a bit now with teacher training. And there's nothing more of a morale buster than if I have a set of teachers that go off to train, and the teachers that did go off to train are now burdened with the fact that they either have to take on more students or they're being called upon to do more work.
Mm-hmm.
And that, if that happens once or twice, it's no big deal. Teachers, especially here at our school, they've been wonderful in terms of helping each other out. But this is like the cousins staying over too long.
Right.
I mean, it can start to get old pretty quick. And so I'm thinking that if I make a recommendation to increase the substitute pay, is that we might be able to get a bigger pool of folks.
Right.
And if we get a bigger pool of folks, that way if a teacher is ill or if a teacher goes to training, the other teachers are not being unduly burdened.
Right.
And that will serve to keep morale in terms of the way it should be.
Right.
So from that standpoint, that's why I'm making the recommendation.
Okay.
So I reviewed it with Ms. Horton, and to make sure that we could afford that we weren't going overboard. So given that Palominas and Sierra Vista, we'd be a little bit higher than them. We'd be comparable with Douglas, and we'd be just above Bisbee. And if that's the case, I'm willing to try anything to see if I can increase the ranks of our substitute teachers.
I made a phone call today. A friend of mine that from high school is an ELL teacher in Gilbert, and she said that everyone is having a hard time finding substitutes. And I know for a fact that just a few years ago we had maintained like a dozen substitute teachers every year, because when the flu season happens, we have so many people out at once. And then I don't know what happened. Remember, it just like dropped down. And it went from a dozen to literally like five.
Probably the $90 rate, though.
Right. And so I can't say that really raising it will help much, because I think this is a universal problem.
Yeah.
But we definitely could jack it up a little bit. So Susana, what do you think about that?
Do you think
97's?
Keep us above Bisbee at least, if it's 95. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say it, but who wants to come all the way down to Knoxville sometimes? You know, that's a long
drive. Because we're off the grid,
kind of. No matter where you're at. Bisbee, you know,
right.
But Knoxville, like, you know,
okay.
Border town, people get scared of that issue, you know. So I think 97 would bring them more than 95.
Well, I was kind of thinking about going down in 95 and rounding it off there. But if you agree.
Well, if Ms. Horton says that it's doable, that we can do it,
right.
I mean, why, you know,
and
why
it was
not
slightly higher than Bisbee. So, you know, I figure the $2 is the gas coming off the hill. So.
Right. Well, and then frankly, I was thinking about our teachers too. And I know that our teachers, because depending on where they are on the ladder, depending on their experience, their education, that it varies. But I don't really know people that are here every day, you know, about where that's at every day. But so that's kind of one of my concerns too. But what is our number now? Before we, with just our subs now, do we have even five?
No, we have right now, we have two reliable daily subs.
Right.
And we will get a third one. I believe she is a snowbird. And so she will be going
yeah.
into town.
Oh, yeah, with Janet, yeah, huh?
And, you know, just by way of transparency and just being upfront, I have asked my wife to come in periodically, and she is not paid. So
oh.
She comes in and she does volunteer. I do owe her dinner.
Are you pay her?
But there are no district funds that go, and I only use her if I have quite a few teachers out, and I just need to cover. So
right.
I'm in a spot there, because I do not believe in having family come and work at your school. This is a special consideration, given the fact that, like, for example, next week we have training that will take seven teachers out of our school for 2 days.
Oh, wow.
And it's pretty critical training that our teachers need to stay up with, in this case, literacy instruction. So when I have two reliable subs, maybe a third, I have to get creative.
Mm-hmm.
But rest assured that whenever I ask my wife to come in, it's volunteer work.
Okay. So. Well, we appreciate that. But I know back in the day when my daughters were here, relied on heavy duty volunteers, you know, to carry out a lot of projects. So, but I think that's probably doable. So, and thanks to her doing that. And we appreciate that. So are we good then?
I'm fine with the 97.
Okay.
I mean, if you
want
to.
Okay. I think that's doable. And if Ms. Horton says that we can do that.
If we can do it, if Ms. Horton said we could do it, I don't think there would be an issue.
So pertaining to the recommendation to increase our substitute teacher pay to 97, I'd like to ask for a second.
I second that.
Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Item E, presentation, discussion, possible action regarding the approval of the additional signatures on the three bank accounts. And this is something we do every year, and so this isn't new to us. And so no surprises there. So do we need any discussion?
Nope. We have to approve it, right? Right. Who else is going to sign it?
We need that. Yeah. Okay, without any further discussion, I'd like to move we approve the additional signatures for the three bank accounts.
I second that.
Susanna seconds. Ayes? Aye.
Aye. I like the ABLE. Able and then ABLE.
I'm sorry, I got that.
You can't mess it up. That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, you it's the same it's Able Morado, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if I've ever known an Able ever.
You're twin, huh?
Oh, no.
It's probably a spell check issue, I bet you, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Not a problem.
We'll correct that.
No, I'm fine. I'm just teasing.
I guess when you think about it, Abe was just Abe. Okay. So, item F, presentation, discussion, possible action regarding the approval of an IGA with St. David Cooperative for Special Educational Services. And I have to admit, I kind of freaked out when I saw that number. But I was thinking, so like screening, are we doing screening like with our speech therapists and who conducts the screening?
They do. They have individuals with those certifications. They come in and I think if you look at Exhibit A, it provides you a breakdown of the costs for the various services. So, in fact, they were doing hearing today, and vision, I think, is going to be next week, and speech and language is something that has become bigger, and we also connect with the Arizona School for the Deaf and Blind for some of our students, and that's not part of this contract. But the main use is the use of the psychologist, because anytime we have a child study and we believe that a student either has to have the IEP reviewed or needs an IEP, it's the psychologist report that is mandatory. So Ms. Horton can provide you the monetary costs. I too got sticker shock. But when you look at what we've paid historically versus what we're paying here, we're saving a little bit of money.
Right.
About $176.
$176. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So that's pretty good with, you know, rates going up and such, so that we can stay in the same realm of the.
So what were we paying last agreement that went?
$53,000.
Oh, okay.
Just over $53,000. Sorry.
Well, actually, I appreciated the breakdown, because I don't think we've really ever seen the breakdown.
Mm-mm.
And so that was really helpful. And in fact, when it came to the even the hearing and visual, I always thought that the
school did
the
it
school
not
district,
like
or, and I thought it was the Lions Club or something donated the services, so I didn't even know that we paid that.
The Lions Club does come in, and they'll be coming in next week, and that's coordinated through the co-op. And prior to the, also for the, I believe it was a hearing, it was Ms. Elias that was handling that, but that's not really her area of expertise. She was just doing it because that's the way we have staff here, they just pitch in. So this was part of the co-op services, so we decided to take that up. Ms. Elias was very happy to get that off her plate. And it also includes support for Ms. Conlogue, because she is new to the school. She's a veteran in terms of being a special ed teacher, but she is our special ed department along with the aides.
Right.
And so she felt that she could use the support that the co-op brings, and so there is a cost for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So when you totaled all that up, it ended up being about $200 less than what we previously paid in past years.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to understand that that cost could go up if indeed we had more kids that needed to be reviewed.
And we have to do more hours.
And that's
right.
Something that I can't
predict.
I can't predict right now. So it could be a little bit less than that if we don't have as many kids identified. It could be a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But what we wanted to show you is that the cost is comparable.
Mm-hmm.
And so it helped me with the sticker shock because this seems to be the going rate.
Right.
Because we're not going to have to be using staff, our staff.
And
it's still going to be less.
If I had to find a psychologist to come and work here, A, I couldn't afford it.
Right.
And then B, I'd be hard-pressed to find a psychologist who would come and work here.
All the way down, yeah.
And that's the same for other small districts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a common problem for tiny districts is that they just simply cannot afford the cost that it takes if you had to have all these services. And when we're dealing with the student's IEP and state law and federal law, they don't care if we can't afford it or can't find a psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
They just know that if a child needs services, by God, we better provide the services.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling very good about this contract. And so far, with the services that we've been getting, Ms. Conalog has been very encouraged by the quality of the survey and the amount of work that they're putting in for the money.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I'm not mistaken, I thought we were going to provide a training for Ms. Elias to do. Remember, we talked about that at one point, to do the visual or hearing. It might have been just the hearing tests. But I don't know how that went.
We won't need that anymore.
Right.
That's now being covered by the co-op.
Right. It's still $200 less than what we were paying, and we were still having our staff, Ms. Elias, do it.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you. Any discussion?
No, I'm good.
Item F. I'd like to move we approve the IGA with St. David the Cooperative for the Special Educational Services.
I second that.
Susanna seconds. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item G, presentation, discussion, possible action regarding the special education policies and procedures update per Arizona Department of Ed, which is quite a packet.
Yeah.
And that came directly from the Department of Education with all these necessary items that they are updating through the special ed department up there. And we need to have it presented to you. And by the 1st of November, they need to have it back showing that it's been approved through our policies and procedures.
So are we tabling this, or we have to rule on it?
No, action item tonight would be to approve the reading of it, and then the next, in October,
we will do
a approval that has been board approved policy and procedure.
So we can just still have time to, because it's so hard.
Hard to understand it.
So it does give you an opportunity to review the document.
Yeah, good.
Because there is quite a bit in there. It was just important for us to submit it today, and then in October, as Ms. Horton indicated, at that point, it probably would be necessary to take action.
So this time, we're not going to, it doesn't necessarily have to be an action item today.
Correct.
And so we're going to move it to next month.
Okay. Unless you chose to.
Okay. I think I feel better, too, if we had a bit better chance to. And I went through it, but it is pretty lengthy. And then maybe our other member will be here, too, for we could say we had a three-member board when we made that decision. And so at this time, I think I'd like to make a motion to table the item regarding the special education policies and procedures update per Arizona Department of Ed until next month.
I second that.
Susanna seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye.
I would also like to indicate to you that as you review this document, if you have any questions or areas where you need clarification, you communicate with me, I will connect with Ms. Conalog and get you the best answer we can relevant to any questions that you may have on this document.
Okay. And I will say, too, that if it's okay with you, you don't have to recopy this for us next month, and we'll just carry it over to next month. We have to reprocess that whole thing again and put that back together. So, okay, thank you so much. That was good. That's good that we're going to be able to kind of dissect that a little better. Item H, presentation, discussion, possible action regarding the approval of the Janelle Chisholm, No Teacher Left Behind, professional development for training. I looked this up, and apparently this is all brand new. The site is under construction, and so I couldn't really look at anything about it. And so how long has this been? I saw that her colleagues were from Washington State, and I didn't really see a whole lot of anything local backing it.
We reviewed about 3 consultants that were recommended to us by the state of Arizona. We knew that we needed assistance in math instruction and unpacking standards and working with Ms. Christie and at the time also Ms. Kaufman in terms of being able to provide them resources and professional development for how you go about teaching math. So we settled on Ms. Chisholm as a recommendation. She is working currently in the state of Arizona, but also in North Dakota. And in North Dakota, she's working with a district of 77 students.
Oh, wow.
So she has the knowledge of working in rural communities and working with tiny school districts. And I was able to work with Ms. Christie, and we also did a kind of like a go-to meeting, and we were able to resolve quite a few issues in terms of what she would be doing. She also has expertise in working with just unpacking state standards, so I worked with the middle school teachers to see if they were interested in having her come in and review some practices and making recommendations for improved for their practices, and they were enthusiastic and said they would be interested. So the contract is for 16 days, and it ends up being about once a month that Ms. Chisholm would work directly with Ms. Christie on professional development and kind of reviewing standards, and so that Ms. Christie has a better understanding and knowledge of how to go about the process of teaching math and how to group students and handle the standards. And then she will work with the middle school teachers on that second day to address issues of unpacking standards and giving them feedback on instructional practices. Mm-hmm. She also came in much less expensive than the other consultant had recommended. And so with her experience, I felt comfortable making the recommendation that she would come in and work. If it does not work out, we do have the option of just saying, look, this isn't working out.
Right. Okay. So basically, she's coming to us, so our teachers don't have to go elsewhere.
Correct.
She's coming here.
And she has 19 years experience as a middle school math teacher.
Oh, wow.
So she is quite experienced, and we had originally thought that this would be solely math. Mm-hmm. But when she indicated that she had experience working with language arts, and, you know, I expanded the scope, and she and the teachers were okay working with each other, so that's why that second day is there.
Right.
And she would be coming down. So
okay.
She'll make she works out of the Phoenix area, so on those 2 days a month, she will come down. She will work directly with our teachers here.
And for those 16 days, is she pretty much going to spend the day here, or is that just a few hours?
Yes.
And have the teacher been pretty receptive about?
Yes, Ms. Christie has been receptive, and the middle school teachers less receptive because they don't know as much
what to expect.
You know what to expect.
Right.
And they're already teachers. Mm-hmm. So that's something I will work with Ms. Chisholm and those teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ms. Christie has had more opportunity to connect with Ms. Chisholm. So we wanted to bring the proposal to you, get board approval if that's the direction that you approve. And then Ms. Chisholm will get started later this month with the teachers.
Okay.
And this is to up our scores, right? This is supposed to help us up.
It's to improve practice. And if we improve practice, you don't automatically get an improvement in achievement, but you get an improvement in practice that over time will increase in achievement.
Mm-hmm. And math is a tough for a lot of kids, and I think any supplemental thing would still be beneficial for them in general, right?
Right.
So, okay.
And we've been 2 years without a certificated teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really need assistance in terms of how Miss Christie, who is doing a great job, and she's studying to become a teacher, but she, in my opinion, she could use the support mm-hmm. of having a veteran teacher come in and work with her monthly in terms of improving her craft.
Right.
And in return, that our students would get better served by way of math instruction.
Right.
Because right now we really need it at our school.
Right. It sounds like a beneficial thing. And so that's kind of a shot in the dark, you know, that short period of time you have to work with that. So, all righty. Sounds good.
Yeah.
You have any more discussion?
No.
Okay, without any further discussion, I'd like to move we approve the Janelle Chisholm with No Teacher Left Behind professional development for training.
I second that.
Susanna seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Item I, presentation, discussion, possible action regarding the approval of the food program permanent service agreement. So this is a little bit different from what we normally do.
Mm-hmm. And this is an annual agreement that is really supposed to be done to approve this. I will need your signature later on for the completion of this to send it into ADE for the program. But this gives us authorization to submit for reimbursement claims and to provide all the necessary procedures and comply with their procedures from and for the NCLB part of the food service.
And again, this is a little doozy here, so. Do you have any questions?
I didn't get from reading it. Have we done this before? I don't. You said we did this. We've done this before.
I don't recall that we've ever seen this before, though.
If you would like to, we can table this to next month.
Is it okay if we do that?
Sure.
Because I went through it, but I wasn't really sure what we were had to compare it to, and so. If it's okay with you, I will do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's one of those compliance issues that we eventually will have to take action,
mm-hmm.
or you eventually will have to take action. But that was a question that I wrote down for Ms. Horton is if it's not needed in September, the idea that if it would give you an opportunity to review it, similar to the IGA for what's the other one?
Special ed.
For the special ed.
Mm-hmm.
And this gives you an opportunity to review it and ask any kind of questions you may have.
Oh, well, I just was kind of curious about what is different from this from what we've been normally utilizing.
And I don't know why. This requires your signature onto it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just yours too, Don.
Hmm?
It's just your signature.
Yeah, just your one signature onto it from the board.
Okay.
And
we'll find out the answer to that and provide it to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that just gives some time to go through it too, and you know I think part of it's just the changing of the guards type thing, and it's just a little different that
different
you know, so it, and that's all good, you know.
And I've presented this at Palominas before, mm-hmm. so I know it's nothing new.
Right.
So.
Okay.
But if you have questions again, you know, send them to Dr. Morato, and we can work on what needs to be done. Right.
And we already have the first question, which is, has this been done before, and why is it before us? And mm-hmm. we will provide you that. In fact, I'll probably send that to you in a Friday report.
Well, and this just looks different from what I recall seeing, you know, so It might be just different. I don't know. I
thought it looked different too, but if Don says it's different, it's different. She'll know more than I do.
So, and I'm not, being suspicious. I just am wondering what the difference is between then and now, and if it is at all or whatever. And so, and obviously it's a program we rely on. So, without anything further, I'd just like to move to table the item pertaining to the food program permanent service agreement.
I second that.
Susanna seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Okay, great. And then, because it's something we can't avoid, but that way we can go through it a little bit better.
Kids need tea.
They do need tea. Alrighty, that concludes our action items. And so that gets us to item 4 and the superintendent's report and Mr. Morado.
Thank you. So I want to thank you for the St. David Cooperative Agreement. In the bit of work that we have done with them, we've been very encouraged. Ms. Conalog has been very satisfied, and she has a sense of comfort knowing that she has a real good support services with them so that we can remain compliant and do what's right for our special education students. We also passed it along the district attorney who reviewed the IGA so that I was not submitting to you a document that would be problematic down the line. And with some minor editing, she was okay with the IGA. So thank you for approving that. And thank you for approving Ms. Chisholm. I think that'll be a great support to our middle school and specifically in math with Ms. Christie. That is much appreciated. So our primary teachers will begin a 5-day training next week in Nogales. It's not 5 days in a row, it's 2 days, 2 days, 1 day. And it will span, I think, 4 or 5 weeks that the training will take place. And it's on teaching reading effectively, which basically will show teachers the latest on improving literacy instruction and how to better teach reading in our primary grades, which, as you know, if we get our kids reading by the end of the third grade, and show me a reader in elementary school, I'll show you a high school graduate. So that is pretty critical. And our teachers have been wonderful in terms of stepping forward and saying, yeah, if this training is something that is necessary, sign me up. And so I really appreciate their efforts as well. So today we completed our fall parent-teacher conferences. We had a steady stream of parents, specifically in our primary grades. And these conferences allow the teachers to discuss with parents the academic and behavior progress or the lack thereof with students. And so we are smack in the middle of the first quarter, so this is a good time because if kids are behind, they can still catch up, or if they're struggling, we can address whatever issues are there. And so this is very timely that these conferences were held, and I want to thank the teachers for their efforts in terms of meeting with the parents. We currently have over 300 students enrolled at NACO. The good news is that our enrollment is holding. We are finishing up the 5th week of school, and we have not seen a dip. I do expect to see a dip as we get from the 40th day to the 100th day. But so far, so good. We're hanging in there. We started at just over 290, and now we're at about 301, 302, mm-hmm. and we're holding steady, so that is good news. I want you to know that I met with a county official from Cochise County, Daniela Reed-Miller, and Ms. Cynthia Aspengren from the U of A South. I'm interested in introducing some classes for parents as a way of outreach. And the first class is a series of 8 classes that would be conducted after school. The first class would be on nutrition and how do we get parents to think smarter about nutrition. And so the U of A has an excellent curriculum in terms of being culturally responsive and making sure that we can address parents and how to cook healthier and how to watch out for healthier foods for our students. And so those classes will go from about October 16th to December the 11th. They'll be held here in this room, and it'll culminate with the last class actually cooking a meal. And so from that standpoint, it looks like it's going to work. It'll come off the ground pretty good. And then in the spring, I want to do a series of classes on computer literacy and teaching our parents about how to do an Excel sheet, how to look in on social media for their students, and get them better aware of what's going on. Mm-hmm. With that in mind, there are two sets of training for students that is right around the corner. Next week, we're doing internet safety with our students. The Attorney General's office puts together wonderful training for students, and they come and talk to the kids. They'll have a training for the K through 2, and then a training for like the 3 through 5 grades, and then a junior high training. And so they differentiate it based on grade level. And so they're coming in on the 20th to train our students. And then in the afternoon of the 20th, we are inviting parents to come, and the parents will be addressed and spoken to, those that show up, about what to look for based on internet safety. On the 27th, following Thursday, is going to be the same set of training, but on anti-bullying. It'll be anti-bullying for the students, and then talking to parents about what to look for if their child is being bullied. Bullying is one of those things that we often think about, that it's loud and it's, everybody can see it. Actually, bullying is very quiet. Mm-hmm. And it is a difficult, difficult problem. And so we need to have the victims step up and say something and say, look, I think this is happening. And then it's our job administratively to investigate that. And if we do find that a child is being bullied, there are specific protocols that I am bound to follow to make sure that our kids are safe. So these two trainings are timely, and so I'm looking forward to them. If they work out great, we'll see about partnering with the AG's office and with other trainings. So I've been fortunate to be able to meet with parents in Naco, Sonora. I think I've been over there 3 times for various training. And we've partnered with the Conexiones program through Tom Carlson. And so they have weekly classes, so I've been able to go. And they're doing some really good things in terms of connecting with parents over there. And these are parents of our students, for whatever reason, they cannot cross. So it really helps me to connect with them to see what kind of needs they have, because the concern coming in for me was, well, we have a lot of parents that just don't show up. But we have a lot of parents that don't show up because they can't show up.
Right.
They can't cross. So me going over there has been very informative for me. And the parents are in their element, and they're in their area. And so they are opening up quite a bit in terms of specific needs that they have. Like they would love to see classes on how do you teach them English so that they can have a parent meeting just by the phone.
Right.
And so we're going to be exploring those opportunities to see if we can do that with some of those parents. Okay. At our next meeting in October, I plan to present you information on how our students performed on the AZ Merit Exam. And that'll be K-8, and that will be a PowerPoint presentation. The teachers have already reviewed the results at one of our trainings, so I would like to present you with a variation of that training so that you can see how our kids did okay. in the spring. We have a visit in October from the state official that handles Title I. We are in a school improvement plan, and so she will be coming in to review and do classroom visits. And so I'll pr- provide you more information as we get closer, but we're currently working on the school improvement plan, and we are going to be in contact with this individual. Her name is Mekota, ahead of October 23rd, and then I will be working with our teachers so that they're not just seeing some state officials just walk into their classroom. That would be inappropriate. Mm-hmm. So I want them to be aware of what's going on and for them to have some input with respect to that Title I plan. And then the last thing is our governing board meeting in October is Wednesday, October 3rd at 5 p.m. And I believe we'll be able to hold to that schedule.
Okay.
We've changed the last two board meetings, and I apologize for that, but I think the October 3rd one works.
Right.
So.
Well, I was going to ask you what you thought about this, because that was one reason I wasn't going to possibly run for the board. Because I'm taking classes on Wednesdays, and so when we have a meeting on Wednesdays, which has always been like the first Wednesday of the month forever, but I teach a class on Mondays and Fridays, and I have for the last 20 years, but on Wednesdays I've been taking three classes on Wednesday, one in the morning and two at night, and so that's kind of affect me as far as that. So I would just like to maybe in the future consider, and the board, all the other members also, to see if another day would be a conflict for them, like a Thursday or something.
I'm fine with Thursdays.
Because that was honestly part of my reluctance about remaining on the board. So
I think each board member will speak for themselves about what will work for them. Speaking for the administration, I've always been used to board meetings being Tuesday evenings.
Oh.
I mean, that's...
See, Tuesday would work fine for me,
too. Everywhere I've been, they've been on Tuesday evening. So
right.
This was different for me. Wednesday works for me, but Thursday works for me, too.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you decide, and we can change that as soon as October.
Well, let's see how it develops into the next month, because that Wednesday the 3rd might not work for... It seems like a lot of stuff is going on, just trying to get back on track with school.
Yeah.
So see how it works, because technically I can be here. I just know that I'm the only one that it's affecting, though, probably. And so that's why I don't want it. I'd like to see how the other members,
I'm fine
how that
with
works.
Tuesday, Thursday, too. Wednesday, you know.
We would be okay.
I live in Knoxville, so whatever.
Oh, right. You know. Okay, you're right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Miss Abel, Mr. Morello, I want you to also consider something else. And somebody had come to me about this issue, but I just want you to think about the legality. Technically and legally, if we have someone that's a guardian for one of our students, we're not supposed to be conversing with anyone other than the guardian, legally. And so just look into the legality of that, because I know that we have quite a few children that have a guardian down here, and that is the question. Should we really be communicating with the guardian? Because legally, that's what the law says.
So the default that I use is, when a parent approaches me and says, can I talk to you about my son, Juan? Unless they're coming into the office and let's say they want records,
right?
Then obviously we're going to check to make sure that I really am talking to the parent.
Right.
But if I'm having a dialogue in public, especially if the child is standing right next to the parent, and it's clear that there's a relationship there, I'm generally not leading with, wait a minute, are you the legal or is there a guardian over here? Where we would do that is if, and where I would do that is if there was a request for records.
Right, which is another subject, right?
And that's different, so that when I go to Naco Sonora, you know, parents are saying, I want to talk to you about my child. My child did X, Y, and Z, or my child has been really successful with this teacher but is struggling over here. I generally will just start speaking because it's not a FERPA violation. If they're saying that my child, I'm taking them at their word.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm doing that in Naco Sonora, and I did that in Tucson. I do it here. It's only when the request for records come in where there are issues, or if I know that a child is the subject of some sort of custody issue,
right,
then I will be more cognizant of that,
right,
and ask more questions on the front end.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have to change that, I mean, I don't mind doing that. It's just It's just when I'm speaking off the cuff, I'm just assuming that right. if you say that one is your son, I'm just assuming, okay, one is your son, unless you needed records. Mm-hmm. Then obviously we're making the checks.
I never even thought about that, because anybody could come in and say, I'm his mother or father, and you don't ask from them for ID. You assume that's who they are, you know. And so I guess a lot of that's still a liability, but it's just the way the world is, too, you know. So, okay, well, thank you. We just want to make sure that we're not putting ourselves in a bad position. Because we did have something happen. It was been years ago. And it turned got really ugly. We had a parent that got killed in that accident up at the mine tour. And the school didn't get involved, and that little girl was in a really precarious situation, and somebody made it right, because it was really a bad situation. And actually, I hired a private investigator to intervene, and that's how we got her back to her dad. And so you just never know who's who, you know, at the
issues that we've dealt with more in terms of the experience that I've had is, there's a custody battle between dad and mom, mm-hmm. and child is living with mom. Dad comes in and wants records and wants to see the child. And those always are, they're almost immediately adversarial. Mm-hmm. You generally will have mom going nuts and saying, he can't be there, he has no right to. And then when you look at the court decree, we have to say to the parent, to the mother, yes, he does have rights.
Right.
And I'm not going to take sides, so I have to speak to him. Mm-hmm. It's only if it's delineated, dad is to have no contact or limited contact.
Right.
But that's why those divorce decrees are so critical. Mm-hmm. That's where I generally have worked it historically with the experience. But you brought up an interesting point, because you're right. We do have quite a few students that from the other side, and they have guardians here. Mm-hmm. And that has to mean something. So that's something that I certainly will be thinking about and being more careful with.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just never know. You know, there's a lot of people that are able to manipulate things, and so you just never know. And so at least you're cognizant of that, and so that's even better. So, well, thank you. Good job. We've heard really great things, and so we're glad that you're feel like you're a part of the plan now, and it's for really, really great things. And you and Ms. Horton and the teachers, we're just really lucky to have the crew we do.
So. I'm honored to be here. I'm having a lot of fun. This is great.
So, well, thanks.
Thank you.
Well, thanks. And without all you guys, we wouldn't be here anyway. So, good job. Well, thank you. Good job on your report. And do we have any call to the public? No? Okay. So we don't have any call to the public. We're moving past that. We've done our reports. And with nothing further, I'm going to move to adjourn at 5:56.
I second that.
Susanna seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Good job. So I push this again. You're the young person. Boo-boo.